Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Poet, singer, and songwriter Leonard Cohen passed away this week at the age of 82. Best known, at least perhaps to my generation, for his song Alleluia, oft covered and repeated. These are the words that strike me most of his. Forget your perfect offering. There's no such thing as a perfect offering except, of course, the offering that Christ makes for us. And in the moment that his offering was most perfect was the moment that he was most broken. There is indeed a crack, or many cracks, in everything, and that is how the light gets in. Last week in our series, Outside My Own Little World, as we pray and seek for God to lead us in ministry beyond our walls and in our community, we prayed, we asked God, please break our hearts for what breaks yours. We remembered what it means to be those who want to reach out. And that's our focus today. We want to be reaching out. A few weeks ago, we talked about our hands needing to be open. Here are some of the things that you wrote on those hands, what you can give and receive only when your hands are open. But we talked about how vulnerable that makes us in order to reach out, in order to open our hearts and our hands, in order for our hearts to be broken as God's heart is broken. We expose ourselves to that crack in everything, indeed that crack within ourselves, because that is where and how the light comes in. That's how God's love comes in. I love that we have not only crack, we have four big, huge skylights in this room. That's how the light gets in. We are not an impenetrable fortress here in the people of God, here in the house of God. There is a crack in us too, and that is how the light gets in. When we look at our community and we look at our world, we look at all of those cracks, all of those fissures, those, as Isaiah called them, breaches in our society and in our world. And it becomes daunting. We want to be reaching out, but there are so many places, and that's where we found ourselves stuck in our visioning process. There are so many places where we could be reaching out in the world, where we want to be reaching out in the world. And the good news, the really, really good news, is that that means the world needs us. The world needs us, the people of God. The world needs us, the church, now more than ever, to be the bearers of that light, to be the bearers of God's love, to be the repairers of the breach, those who stand in the broken places and say, this is where God's love comes in. This is where the light comes in those cracks here and everywhere. It reminds us how very relevant and important and needed the Word of God is, and the Word of God made flesh in Christ is, and the people who are now the body of Christ who bear that Word are. We ask ourselves, what can one person, one church, possibly do in the face of the world's need, in the face of all those cracks in everything? And the prophet Isaiah heard that same question from his people as they were asking, what could we do? What can we do to heal ourselves as a nation? What can we do to heal ourselves as a people, let alone be the light to the world that Isaiah also said God's people would be? Arise and shine, your light has come, and you will be a light for all nations. We're gearing up to start talking about that light that shines in the darkness, that light that is coming into the world. How are we to be that light? The people cried out to God. And Isaiah heard an answer and shared an answer that it's not about how holy we are or the prayers that we pray or how we even got to this place. It's about how we stand in the breach. It's about how we live in service to God and to each other, not with the right perfect offering, but by being those who feed the hungry, who clothe the naked, who welcome the poor and those without housing, who build a place of safety and love, who build themselves into a people of justice and compassion, of kindness and of goodness in the midst of the world's brokenness. There are cracks. There are breaches. There are big gaping fissures in our community. We see them as we look around us and try to discern where we are called. We see them in places where there is inadequate housing, in the folk who are food insecure. We see them in people living with, struggling with, dying with addiction. We see them in people struggling and surviving in the face of mental illness and the stigma that it carries. There are cracks and fissures in our community. That is where we are called to carry the light. And my siblings, there are cracks. There are fissures. There are giant breaches in our nation and in our world. There is tremendous pain in our community, our region, our nation, our world. That, too, is where the light will come in. That too is where God's love will come in. In the gospel reading that we heard a bit ago, Jesus reminds his followers in not too comforting a tone, at the start anyway, that there will be wars and rebellions and all kinds of terrifying portents in the heavens. That there will be real struggles between peoples in the world. And that this is not a cause for fear, but an opportunity for faith, to be stronger, to hold fast. These cracks, these fissures, these breaches are the places where love comes in. People in our world, in our community, in our region, in our nation, are feeling afraid, are feeling broken, and it's not about who won or lost an election, and it's certainly not about who anyone voted for or against. But it is about some rhetoric that was used in that election season, all across the board, and it's about the fear, the very real fear, that that rhetoric will be played out, if not by the leaders in power, then by people in the streets and communities across our nation. And indeed, we're already seeing violence, harassment, threats, and actual violence played out in the few days since. It reveals the breach, the brokenness in one another, in our world, that crack in everything. It's where the light comes in. Earlier this year, after the so-called Brexit vote, when the United Kingdom voted to separate itself, remove itself from the European Union, there was an uptick experienced in the time after that vote in instances of violence, of racism, sexism, xenophobia, homophobia, Islamophobia, just as we're seeing now. That fear of people who are other, those on the other side of the breach, whatever the breach is. And so to try to counter that, some people started a small movement, and it's not much, just a small movement, just a symbol, and they began to wear safety pins on their clothing as a symbol that they were a safe person, a person to talk to if someone was feeling afraid, if someone was feeling like an outsider, if someone wasn't sure if their country was a safe place for them anymore. Maybe even, I like to think of a safety pin as that which holds things that are torn or frayed together, until they can be stitched again, right? You only use it for a while, but it's that which holds something together until we can mend the breach, until we can come together again. So some folk have invited us now to wear safety pins, to use that as a symbol of we are those who stand in the breach. It's not a symbol of who you voted for. You got a button for that if you want to wear that. It's a symbol that you are a safe person and that you believe that we can be held together in love until such time as we might be stitched back together in our brokenness. Because that is where the light comes in. It's also been said already since the time that people proposed doing this that it's not enough. That it might seem like just a simple way of, you know, put a safety pin on your lapel and you're all done. You don't have to do anything else to make the world a safer, more loving, better place. And I submit to you that of course it's not enough. But here is the metaphor that I use, and it comes from something that one of my mentors in seminary told me, a woman that I worked for at the Women's Center at Boston University School of Theology, Margaret Wyborg. And Margaret, who herself would never wear a cross around her neck, Margaret said, one should never wear a cross around your neck unless you're also willing to carry one across your back. That cross that we wear, that some of us wear, that we might choose to wear, is not meant necessarily to be a symbol to the world that we're Christian, so that we could be patted on the back for that, or a symbol to other Christians that we're like safe people to talk about Christianity with, so that we might feel comfortable. But isn't it more in the act of putting it on that we remember who we are and whose we are? Isn't it more a sign of our commitment to carry that cross, not on our chest, or on our keychain, or our rearview mirror, although I don't think it's legal to hang things from your rearview mirror, so don't do that, but that we're willing to carry it on our back, that we're willing to carry it for and with one another. That's how I understand this movement, this invitation to wear a safety pin. It's not about saying that we can put a safety pin on things like a Band-Aid and just hold everybody together. I don't know if there are enough pins for the brokenness of the world, and they do, after all, have very sharp points. And we can still hurt ourselves and one another with them. But it's meant to be a symbol. As I put it on my soul this morning, I thought to myself, I am committing this day, in this moment, to be love, to be part of the light that comes in, to be part of the love that breaks in through those cracks, through those breaches in everything. We're also asking ourselves this morning where God is calling us out into our community, out to be love and service and light to the world around us. And I invited you to write that on a planter, the way that we might plant seeds this time of year, especially if you've planted anything in the last weeks or months. We won't see that growth for quite a while. But you might need to mark it and to say, here, this stake in the ground, this is where we have planted hope. This is where we have planted love. This is where we have planted our vision for where God is calling us. And may it grow up here. And so in just a few moments, I'll invite you forward to our flower box to plant those visions, those hopes, those dreams for ministry that we might grow in our church, in our community, in our world, those places where we might be the ones who stand in the breach and dare, we think, be part of the repairing of it. And if you wish, there are a couple of little bowls in front of the planter and you can take from there one or more safety pins for yourself, for others. You can wear them, you can put them on your keychain, you can pin them someplace, you'll see them as a reminder. But I invite you to be those who hold together in the midst of tearing apart, those who stand in the breach and the brokenness. I dream of a church that is called to bring people together in love, in God's love, in Christ. I dream of a church where we are a place and a people of safety and faith and hope, a people who look for the cracks in everything, who look for the breaches in the community and the world. There is where we are needed. There is where the light comes in. There is where we come in. There is where God's love breaks in. Amen.